You know, I joked about it being an NBC production.
Well, it's certainly coming off that way.
That's how I'm feeling.
Right? Made for prime time. I mean, think about the think about the free publicity this movie's getting. Wow. I mean,
well, the free publicity for the movie, right? Yeah, no, you're 100% right. It's called I'll plug it. It's, you know, it's going to be out there. It's going to be called Unprecedented, and it's to air sometime this summer on Discovery Plus. So that's Warner Brothers.
Yeah, I mean, and they're going to start pumping it too. One of the one of the young bucks said, I think they're already advertising on the show, or they're getting. They heard it on the podcast. I mean, they know who the crowd is. The political podcasts. Most of the political podcasts get these kind of
right.
Ads,
these kind of commercials.
Yeah, they just do. It's just the whole genre. If you're on with the right ad, folks, you're gonna get a piece of this. I love that we get the the young bucks tell me we got another Pride event, some kind of Pride concert. They're advertising. I said, boy. I don't know if they got the right crowd here that is listening. I don't think a lot of our listeners are going to go traipsing into the Pride.
What's Bronco just listen? What does Bronco say? Pay me.
Pay
Who
me.
Who cares?
Well, I mean,
whatever
you know, we've had
whatever they're putting.
Listen, we've had Dave Latour on the show. You know, my buddy from Pennsylvania, a big political guy, consultant, and he said, bro. Take it all and run. I mean, this is about, you know, also about being a business. So, I mean,
correct.
And it, you don't take things in bad taste, but some people say, I heard an ad from Big Pharma on your show. And I'm like, yeah, I get paid to make fun of them. What a great world. Are you insane? Give me your money and then I can make fun. Like, you think I'm going to be the guy that holds back a Big Pharma for a couple bucks? No, that's not happening. But if you want to keep paying me to make fun of you,
no, I mean,
it's a great job.
Okay. Look at all of the years conservative talk radio. You're in the car with your children and they're talking about erectile dysfunction. Now,
hey, now, slow down now.
Do I want to lose my mind over that? Yes, I do.
I draw the line at that, God damn it.
Right. What I'm saying.
No, you're right.
They
it's
don't,
like,
this is a conservative channel. You're putting it on for a reason. And these are the commercials.
Yeah.
And you're like, what? So we do know we don't have control over this. All you can do is if you're listening to something and commercials are coming
we here have control over that. Like there's different parameters I've already set. Like you won't hear an erectile dysfunction commercial on the public side of the podcast because I've already,
well, that's good.
I've already
Thank
checked
you.
The box saying that, you know,
yeah, no. No,
and a number of other things from whether it's, you know, so it's like, you know, you're not going to hear racy stuff and things like the long.
Right.
I say it's a family show all the time. It's the damnedest thing. People's kids are listening to this show. Maybe that's not, you know, once I get going and I get on a rant, but hell, it can't be any worse than what they hear on a school bus. I mean, let's just be honest.
Or in the house while they're picking up wine at the store.
Well, I'm telling you, man. It's chaos out there. You know, these parents with young kids. I mean, how do you? You got 10-year-olds watching stuff that should be, you know, for 16, 17-year-olds. I mean, you have grandkids. You understand this game. They're throwing this stuff at kids so fast. Okay, you have a 10-year-old. What is the kid really 10 years old, or are they more like 15?
Yeah. No, not mine. I know, but I'm saying in general. Yeah. Yeah, no, yeah, it depends because you can, you know, put these kids with their peers. Now, on an academic level, my grandchildren are fantastic. But if you put them with some of their peers, they're unbelievably advanced. Like they have access to YouTube and things like that on their own. So that's very scary. Because we're talking, you know, young. They're young, 10, you know, 8. They should not have any access to any internet without heavy, heavy parental controls and oversight. Not just here's a tablet, go have at it. No, no, no.
These kids grow up so fast, and you know, a lot of it is, unfortunately, the parents, it could be for many different reasons why they're chasing the dollar. I no longer think they're just chasing the dollar at this point to keep up with the Joneses. I think they're chasing the dollar to tread water.
Oh, because of the government. You're 100%
right. So,
no, you're 100% right. They don't have, see, that was the other thing. When I was raising my kids, and you're earning money, not a tremendous amount of money, but you were able to not only pay your bills, but we did have discretionary money. We did take those, you know, living up north, there's not much to do in the winter except go to the malls, you know, hang out at the malls and shop and do those things. In the summer, we took vacations. We, you know, we did all that. We had discretionary money. And I'm seeing from the youth, they're making great money and they still don't have discretionary funds. That is, it's sad because the parents are working like this just to get by.
Well, it's funny you say that because when you hear like these dopes in the White House and other places, whether it's the Commerce Secretary, the Labor Secretary, whether it's Biden himself, his spokespeople, all the people on that side of the aisle, so to speak, and even other side of the aisle, so-called, although folks should know by now, I don't believe that there is two sides of the aisle. It's almost like,
right.
Of course, inflation's high, but I mean, you know, Americans are going to pay for it. Like, you're not even allowed to have discretionary income, and you're not even allowed to say that you want to have discretionary income or that you used to have discretionary income. It's like, well, they'll pay for it if they want it. I mean, they have some money. So they'll do without something that they enjoy, like healthcare or keeping the lights on. But I mean, it's like, what?
No, between the fuel, between the food, and not even the food, it's everything else. For your home, the toilet paper, the laundry detergent, all of those things have went up in price. So all of that. You and I spoke about the chlorine for our pools. We know energy bills are going up. I know quite a few people that got hit with some whoppers. So this is, you know, what's happening. They're getting hit from all sides at once. So, no, it's bad. It is very, very bad. And it's sad. And the worst of it is when we do talk about, and we've spoken about it many times, is the housing situation. Because you're having people forced into situations to rent at this point because they can't afford to buy because there are no houses to buy. And now that the interest rates are going up, their debt to income ratio might have knocked them out of the water with that. Now you're forced to rent. And like you said, these rental prices are unsustainable. You know, I saw an article a few years ago that I thought was pretty creepy, but it's now falling into place because it was like in a city. They were talking about how the young people, because the less is more, you will own nothing and be happy. And this was before we knew this stuff. But they were doing communal living as a new trend. And at the time that I read it, I'm like, again, going backwards in life, this is crazy. But then I came across something. Remember we did, what was it, the nuclear threat initiative scenarios? Like back in May, I think we did that.
Yeah.
Okay. And part of that was like they gained out catastrophic events. So there was so I came across, let me see if I can find this, because I wrote down some of the crazy things that actually are running hand in hand with a lot of things out of the UN and just craziness. Global catastrophe scenarios, and then there's an NGO, non-governmental organization, Future of Humanity Institute. Anyway, some of the catastrophes and things they game out is like artificial intelligence and, you know, biotechnology, chemical weapons, a choice to have fewer children, which falls under population decline. They're anticipating extinction before the year 3000, but some estimate that if the reproduction rate drops to that of Germany and Japan, we could see extinction by 2400. And it goes on and on. It quotes some reports, but one of them actually had, this is the one. It had communal interest in it. So in 2020, there was a report that found that if deforestation and resource consumption continue at current rates, they could culminate catastrophic collapse in the human population and irreversible collapse of our civilization. Within the next few decades, this study goes on to say humanity should pass from a civilization dominated by the economy to a cultural society that privileges the interest of the ecosystem above the individual interest and overall communal interest.
Doesn't now, even make any sense.
Oh, no, it makes sense. If you're looking at the Agenda 30s and where they're headed, they keep gaming out the destruction of humanity. So we have to sustain everything. The individual is no longer important. Everything is a collective. This is a global project.
I know, but it's all a grift. I mean, look at this. And it's nonsense. It's China's coal use is poised to wipe out 17 years worth of U.S. emissions progress and rising emissions from the growing global coal use. Amidst the current energy crisis, are eliminating emissions reductions achieved in the U.S. since the mid-2000s. China and India are driving the increase in coal emissions.
Right.
European countries, including Germany and the Netherlands, have also moved to produce more coal as their energy sources have become scarce. Those energy sources being Russia. China announced that it will increase coal output by 300 million tons this year. Last month, India also said it was looking to grow its domestic coal production by more than 400 million tons by the end of 2023. China and India's combined 700 million tons of coal output will result in an additional 1.4 billion with a B tons of carbon dioxide emissions, as burning 1 ton of coal increases roughly 2 tons. It creates roughly and releases 2 tons of carbon dioxide. So these dopes in the U.S. like, we need to do this here. It's being wiped out. It's all the same goddamn environment.
Right. And so that's why they'll anticipate, instead of a year 3000, they'll say, okay, well, if you people don't do this, then we're looking at 2400. But they even have on here, since that, like, these are things that can destroy us, right? So the chemical weapons and, you know, artificial intelligence out of control, which we already know, they talk about post-human. They talk about synthetic pandemics. So fake pandemics can kill us, whatever they concoct. Mineral resource exhaustion, nanotechnology. These are all of the things that they are saying.
70% off. That gets my attention. A quick anecdote here. I was on the road about a week and a half ago, and I was sorting out what's happening in some farmland in Pennsylvania and speaking to some farmers and some of the plights that they are facing, et cetera. So I was in a remote area, and I was in this dingy truck stop. I won't name it, but it was a little bit of, you would call it a shady place. And I'm sitting there, and they have a scant Wi-Fi, but they did have some Wi-Fi. And I said, you know what? I don't even trust the coffee in this place, let alone the Wi-Fi. So let me dial up my IP Vanish account here on my good old cell phone. At least I know there's not prying eyes in the back in the back of the truck stop or anywhere else. And so we've used IP Vanish a number of times to bail us out of some sticky wickets, I guess you could call it, as we traveled across the United States and the pain caravan across the country. Tired of feeling like someone's always watching you on the internet. Maybe advertisers know a bit too much about you, or you're concerned about the privacy of your identity. Using incognito mode won't solve the problem either. IP Vanish VPN is here to protect your right to privacy and help you stay anonymous online. IP Vanish helps you safely browse the internet without exposing your private details to third parties such as hackers, your ISP, or advertisers. You can use IP Vanish on your computers, tablets, phones, even devices like your Fire Stick, and when you're streaming media. When you use IP Vanish, all of your data is encrypted. This means that your private details, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be completely shielded from falling into the wrong hands. Even your physical location will be hidden. IP Vanish makes you virtually invisible online. It's that simple. And you can use IP Vanish or unlimited uses on unlimited devices without sacrificing on speed. Your computers, tablets, phones, even devices like your Fire Stick. IP Vanish is offering an incredible 70% off their yearly plan for our listeners with a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's like getting 9 months for free for you folks who need a little help with the math. IP Vanish is super easy to use. All you have to do is tap one button and you're instantly protected. You won't even know what's on. Stop sharing with the world everything you watch, everything you search for, and everything you buy. Take your privacy back today with the brand rated 4.6 out of 5 on Trustpilot. So go to ipvanish.com/pain, that's P-A-I-N-E, and use promotional code PAIN, all in caps, P-A-I-N-E, and claim your 70% savings. That's ipvanish.com/pain.
Our danger, like under their evolution, they do scenarios that envision that humans could use genetic engineering or technological modifications to split into normal, to split normal humans and a new species. Okay, we already know they're monkeying around with stuff like that. And then, where did I see? Another NGO, Machine Intelligence Research Institute was established in 2000, and it aims to reduce the risk of a catastrophe caused by artificial intelligence. Guess who a donor is?
I don't even need to. I know who it is.
Okay, that's just one. And then the Future of Life Institute.
You're talking about Gates, right?
No.
Who?
Peter Thiel.
Oh, my God, this guy.
Thiel. So he's a donor for this NGO research institute. And then the Future of Life Institute.
These people just make their money and go away and enjoy their lives. Why are they gonna?
Because you can see the amount of money and the very select few that have their hands in everything. So
they were put on this earth to save us. Right?
Yes.
They are above us. We are stupid. We are lowly. We are fools. We can't comprehend how incredible intelligent they are. And they've been put here to save us and by burying us. I don't see any of these fucking guys with all their money throwing any bones to the hungry kids in the street. They're like, it's all these evil fucking plans to take over the world. What about the world that exists today, not 50 years from now. You know what I mean?
They're not concerned about that.
They're not concerned. Yeah, they don't care.
Right, and that's why when people do talk politics, and we, meaning your audience and you and I, we know that these select billionaires have so much power in their little meetings, and they create all these like open philanthropy, you know, is behind, you know, the John Hopkins and a lot of those simulations, and they have ongoing simulations there. But the Future of Life Institute was established in 2014, and Elon Musk is a donor there. So you have all of these people. So when you look at these little politicians coming up through Washington, or you even look at our wealthy politicians in D.C., they don't come close to these guys. So who has the power? Is it the folks that are supposed to be representing us? Hell no. No, no, no. It's these guys and the global, you know, the billionaires of the globe that are pulling all the strings and deciding what they feel is best. Will we have fake lab meat? You know, will they destroy crops and chickens and destroy our air? And there was something else. There was another report, which I thought was really telling. It was about the air and water and soil. This report was done, I think, 2015. And they were saying that, I think they were saying 9 million people died due to, you know, polluted air, polluted water, and polluted soil. Because if all of those things are polluted, you're going to get sick with when anything that comes down the pike, or cancer, or heart disease, et cetera. Now, this was before COVID. So if that many people, and they are aware of, are dying because they're poisoning everything, you know, imagine what else they could do. And that they're trying. It wasn't a big thing during COVID, them leading us away from supplements. It was like literally do nothing and take Tylenol.
It's bad all the way around.
Yeah.
It really is.
No. Oh, no, it's horrible. But again, like I told you, I spoke to someone today where I said it still feels good and liberating to be defiant and continue to build our mechanisms outside of their system. And we still do have time.
Okay, well, let's take a chapter out of that Book of Defiance. Think about, I was thinking about this today. What a badass you have to be in life. Billions and billions of dollars. Who knows? It could be bordering on the trillions or a trillion, single trillion, right, of marketing for you to get a jab and everybody's going to die. And there's a group of people out here saying, fuck you. Right. Think about what a badass you have to be in the face of all that, in the face of public shame from all the Karens out there and all the elected officials who say, you're killing other people. And granted, we know that now. But at the time, it's like, whoa, are we killing people? Do your part, this, that, and the other thing.
Oh, right.
But all that secondary to, oh, you're going to die if you don't listen to us. And people sat out here and said, you're so full of shit. Go fuck off. So that's like one of the recent, and this is globally, there's people all over the world. That's one of the recent best examples of modern day defiance that you ever see. Because those people, including myself and including the people who run that pizza shop, they don't have their jabs. I mean, there's a lot of people out there who, and you know what? A lot of the people who don't have their jabs now are being vocal about that. They weren't vocal about not getting the jabs previously because you get attacked. Now they're saying, yeah, I didn't get it. Nah, I didn't get it. You know? And before that was, there was like a, I think people were afraid to speak out about it, but like, you know, now they're just like, I'm not worried about it. I'm not looking over my shoulder. I mean, we know that these people are looking over their shoulder.
Oh, yeah. Now that there was a video. I don't know if I sent you the video of the comedian. I sent you a screenshot, but there is a video of him where he's saying, almost disgusted, you know, I took your first shot, and your second.
He said he got hurt, right? Is that the guy who said he was hurt?
I don't think, no. Oh, you mean, in the screenshot, like he was saying his arm was sore.
Yeah.
But somebody said that he was joking about that. Okay, well, then the next day a video surfaced where he was saying, more or less, I've gotten everything you've asked me to, no more. I am not taking another.
He said he wasn't taking another one.
Right.
Yeah, right.
And then he died. So, even the people that did immediately get on board for the fear factor and the heavy propaganda, they got their first shot, their second shot, maybe their booster. Well, they're even at the point now of, you know, because at this point, we're in July 22. At what point is the entire planet rendered unvaccinated?
I know.
These things, right? You have to sit back and laugh. I mean, you know, 6 months from now, we can basically say, yeah, every single one of you that has taken every shot, no, you're unvaccinated now. So I don't know. It's crazy. We don't have to, you know, concern ourselves with that. But the people that were on board, I am noticing they're like, yeah, no more. I don't care what they roll out. I'm not taking it. You know, I did my part the first go around and now I'm done. And now they're seeing their friends are getting, they call it COVID. I call it they're sick. You know, when everybody tells me so-and-so that's jabbed has COVID, I go, they're sick. And I don't care what their fake test setting was. They're sick and they need to get better and they need to avoid doctors. And they do. I was looking for that thing. It was a 2017 Lancet report that said deaths in 2015 from toxic air, water, and soil and workplace collectively was responsible for 9 million deaths. So they already know we have polluted everything and they continue to poison us. So if they're not going to poison you with some cocktail for, you know, inside your body that you need every 3 to 6 months, they're going to get to you through your food, your water, and your air.
Well, they're also, yeah, and they're also very upset that their little death cult since the 1970s with abortion has taken a serious hit. You know, growing up in the hood for a little bit of a stretch, you know, compared to, I mean, it wasn't my entire youth. It was pretty important years, though. You know, you see that it wasn't even the black folks, African Americans. It was just poor people would almost depend on abortion, and they literally the government created this cult. It's like right. I call it like a death cult. Oh my God, you can't take away our abortion. It's like what? Isn't that kind of an extremist stance? Yeah, I mean, you're talking about wiping out a human life. And so the more people can get away from this death cult from these evil people, and I'm not saying anything beyond that. It's just became this like, it's weird to try to describe. I mean, you talk about people becoming desensitized. You are wiping out fucking human beings.
Well, it's weird. Right. Now it's weird. So, okay. So they overturn Roe Wade and we know there are states that, you know, you could still get, you know, get an abortion and the weeks vary. But the utter panic that sent women to the drugstore to get the morning after pill, that the drugstores had to, you know, say a halt here. We need to slow down. That's when you have to say to yourself, okay, we already know they've started using abortion as birth control, because you do have the women that are, you know, proud as could be to say that they have had numerous abortions, which means you're using it as birth control, which means you are definitely a reckless person. Okay. So if the whole argument was always going to be rape and incest, okay, because that's the argument, all right, why are you all running out to the drugstore? Like,